Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected talk, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
My first job is to protect the American people. It is entirely legitimate for the American people to be deeply concerned when you've got a bunch of violent, vicious zealots who behead people or randomly shoot a bunch of folks in a deli in Paris.
It's another Goebbels moment from the Obama administration. So the Muslim terrorists, after seizing a Jewish supermarket in Paris, told the TV station in Paris that he had coordinated with the Charlie Hebdo killers. He was a member of ISIS. And not to Obama, though. The four hostages were targeted because they were Jews. The deli was targeted because it was a Jewish deli. They had names: Yoav Hatab, 21, Francois Michel Saada, age 60, Johan Cohen, age 22, and Philippe Braham, age 40. They were all Jews, but to Obama, they're not Jews. They were people without a religion. They were just folks in a deli. Just a bunch of folks. Well, we want to thank Jim Hoft of Gateway Pundit for focusing on this latest outrage from the Jew hater in the White House. And we'll ask again, how can the Jewish people ever vote for this man who hates Israel and hates the Jews? We don't understand it. We don't understand it. We'll never understand this. The same day this comes out, we learned that a lovely 26-year-old American girl, an aid worker, innocent aid worker, Kayla Jean Mueller, she went to Syria to help people. The vermin, the Islamo-fascist vermin throwbacks, the garbage of the planet, the filth that God gave us, executed her. She was an aid worker. And you know what's odd to me? Write this one down. It's strange how the anti-death penalty liberal humanitarians, who will spend 30 years defending a mass murderer from the gas chamber or the whatever they do with them now, the needle. Where are all of the lawyers, the liberal, humanitarian, American filth lawyers who are anti-death penalty, who are now silent as ISIS executes and beheads? Here's an American aid worker, an innocent 26-year-old, Kayla Jean Mueller. Not a word from the anti-death penalty liars. Why is that? Maybe one day you'll come to understand they're really not anti-death penalty. You'll figure out what they really are. Now, this issue of Obama, the new administration of Obama, calling murdered Jews in a deli, in a Jewish deli, just a random bunch of folks, has set off another shockwave around the intellectual world, the world of those with a brain. Certainly NPR didn't hear the soundbite because they work for Obama. National Obama Radio never reports anything negative about him because they work for him. And the day they start criticizing him, they're out of business. The funding would be cut off. They're part of Pravda and Izvestia. So let's go into this. Obama calls murdered Jews just a random bunch of folks shot in a deli. First of all, I'm disgusted by the word folks. I'm sick of this community organizer using this homey little word. Amidi Coulibaly, the Islamo-fascist gunman killed by police in January after seizing a Jewish supermarket in Paris, told BFM TV station he had coordinated with the Charlie Hebdo killers and was a member of ISIS. He is seen with the terrorist bride that he had, the piece of garbage in a burqa, Hayat Boumeddin, who fled France. She is still at large. Ladies and gentlemen, let me ask you something. How do you feel about that one? I'll give you all the news today. We're not going to get stuck on one topic, but you better grab a line while you can at 855-400-7282. It's the Savage Nation, where unprotected talk reigns. Any topic is fair game. Here's what someone wrote about Obama's insult, where he said they were just folks in a deli. Someone said, interesting how he personalizes the things he wants to place importance on and minimizes the things that do not fit into his leftist agenda. Yeah, like slash Black Lives Matter. You get that? How about Jewish Lives Matter? How about that one? And then someone wrote this. So by Obama's account, the kidnapped victims in Africa, the girls, are just a random bunch of girls. And that means that Michelle's hashtag campaign didn't work because she didn't have it correctly. It should have read hashtag bring back our random bunch of girls. But I guess she had the wrong hashtag. A bunch of folk. Of all the things Obama has said in the last few weeks, first he attacked Jesus and Christianity last week. Now he attacks Jews this week. And yet he has nothing negative to say about one world religion, does he? Makes you wonder, doesn't it? Makes you wonder about his number one advisor, Valerie Jarrett, where she said, I am an Iranian by birth and of my Islamic faith. She said, I'm also an American citizen and seek to help change America to be a more Islamic country. Her faith guides her, you see, in advising our president. And so the president doesn't say Jewish deli, doesn't say Jews, doesn't say Islamo-fascist. Just shot a bunch of folks in a deli in Paris. Goebbels would be very proud of the president. Very, very proud of his blind faith in his ability to get away with virtual, the destruction of a language. But there's much more. We're going to give four gold stars today to Jonathan Carl from ABC. I don't know who he is. I've certainly seen him over the years. I've not paid attention to him, but this man should be given a gold star, four gold stars, for daring to stand up to this miserable, lying dictator in the White House. Listen to this interchange at 27.
This was not a random shooting of a bunch of folks in a deli in Paris. This was an attack on a kosher deli. Does the president have any doubt that those terrorists attacked that deli because there would be Jews in that deli?
Well, John, it is clear from the terrorists and some of the writings that they put out afterwards what their motivation was.
Terrorists.
The adverb that the president chose was used to indicate that the individuals who were killed in that terrible, tragic incident were killed not because of who they were, but because of where they randomly happened to be.
They were killed because they were in a Jewish deli, though? They were in a kosher deli?
No, these individuals were not targeted by name.
By religion. Were
you learned that at Harvard?
Well,
you
John,
piece of garbage, you? You filth. I'm glad this is a radio show, and I can't say what I'd like to say. I'd like to start cursing right now like you never heard me curse. I'd like to curse like I'm alone in a garage right now screaming at a wall from that piece of human garbage called a spokesmouth for Obama. That filthy double-talking piece of... Can you believe what that double-talking liar just said? Well, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. He was hired by the liar-in-chief because he thinks he's a skilled liar. But this thing has to go. This creep, this low-life creep, spokesmouth for Obama, just did something that Goebbels wouldn't have dared do. Or shall I say Goebbels would have done it more eloquently than this one. They just happened to be in a deli? Well, it was a Jewish deli, but we didn't know that. I want you to listen to Mr. Carl. Is this the only clip of Carl pushing him, or is there another one? No, I don't want the climate change. I want you to listen to Jonathan Carl from ABC News, who gets a triple gold star today for daring to stand up to the filthy liars under the Obama administration. Listen.
This was not a random shooting of a bunch of folks in a deli in Paris. This was an attack on a kosher deli. Does the president have any doubt that those terrorists attacked that deli because there would be Jews in that deli?
Well, John, it is clear from the terrorists and some of the writings that they put out afterwards what their motivation was.
You simpering piece of...
The adverb that the president
you
chose...
You simpering liar, you.
...was used...
Shut him up.
To-
Shut this rat up. You know, if there really is a God in heaven, and I'm not sure anymore, if there really is a God in heaven and a judgment day, man alive, I want to be there. I want to be there when this character who talks for Obama like this goes before whoever it is who does the prejudging for God. I'd like to be in the audience. I'd like to see what the punishment would be. Because there will be punishment for this man in his own life. He will get sick from his own words. You know something I've noticed? It's not that all people who get sick have done something wrong. I know that very well. I've seen good people get sick. But I've also seen people get punished for their deeds on this earth in their own lifetime. This man's lies are so toxic that just to conjure them up inside his brain is poisoning his own body. And all I can say is this, this spokesmouth, this lying, simpering, inhuman thing that talks for Obama is a shame to his mother and father and a shame to his entire genealogy. He has just disgraced his entire gene pool. But now let's go back, though, to the head of the snake. Here is the head of the snake himself, Mr. Hussein Obama. Listen to him say it again.
My first job is to protect the American people. It is entirely legitimate for the American people to be deeply concerned when you've got a bunch of violent,
Muslim,
vicious zealots who behead people or randomly shoot a bunch of folks in a deli in Paris.
Randomly shoot a bunch of folks in a deli in Paris. Why would any Jew in America ever vote for Obama again? Why do the Jews of Hollywood support him? I know I'm not supposed to put Jew and Hollywood together, but forgive me. Why does Katzenberg support him? Why does Geffen support him? Why does Geffen support Obama? Why does Katzenberg support Obama? Why does Spielberg support Obama? Why does Bloomberg support Obama? Tell me why. Can anyone explain this to me? I want an answer. I need an answer. Maybe I need an answer. I'll go crazy. Maybe I can't take another day of this without saying I've had all I can take. Maybe there's no more I can take from this man. The man is nakedly what he is. And the Sanhedrin marches on along with him. Check out what I mean by the Sanhedrin marches along with him. Maybe you'll figure out that this is nothing new. Yes, there was a Sanhedrin way back when Jesus was alive. And you've just heard me name some members of the Sanhedrin that gave a thumbs down. 855-400-7282 is the phone number. Again, we salute Jonathan Karl from ABC for having stood up to this creature who lies for Obama in the most unimaginary ways. And by the way, the most unimaginative ways as well. It's not even good lying. It's embarrassing. He should be fired immediately because he failed. He failed his Fuhrer. Well, let's go to the callers. Please, when I call your number, you give us your name, your station, and your topic. That would be appreciated. Line number 3, you're first up on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hi, my name is Primo. I'm listening on KSFO through iHeartRadio, and I'm calling from Rhode Island. Hello, sir. It was interesting that you brought up the word folks earlier, because I absolutely detest that word. Every time I hear a politician use it, it kind of sounds in a way like a racial slur, like a negative connotation to refer to us.
What do you mean by what do you mean, calling people folks over and over again?
Yes. It just sounds, to me, it just sounds extremely condescending.
Well, we're a bunch of folks to him.
Exactly. We're not even people. We're just folks.
But what, how about when blacks are beaten up by police or shot by police? Are they folks? Bunch of folks shot by police by accident? Or do they have an identity when they're of a certain race?
Oh, they have an identity, they have a biography, they have everything.
And they're all on the way to medical school, aren't they?
Oh, every one of them.
Trayvon Martin was coming home from medical school.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And Gentle Giant Mike was on his way back from a class in human anatomy,
yeah,
when the policeman targeted him because he was of African-American descent, and he was picked on because of his race. But, of course, when it comes to others, we saw the generic folks. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly.
Thank you. Yeah, that's it. So that's the world we're living in. But again, take my number one point. Here's a young girl, 26 years old, an idealist. She goes to Syria. God knows why her parents let her go. Innocent girl, a nice girl. I know the idealistic type. I was once one myself. The Peace Corps type. She sees a civil war. She's going to go there to help people. Aid worker, Kyla Jane Muller, and the vermin, the Islamic murderers, kill her. Not a word from the anti-death penalty hypocrites. And by the way, what did Obama say about it? Did he say Muslims killed her? No. Did he say Islamic murderers killed her? No. What did he say? What did this polarizing president say about this? Well, let's listen again to the non-human Ernest in clip number 20 on what this creature said about it.
Thoughts and prayers of everybody who works here at the White House or with the Mueller family at this time. That includes, of course, Kayla's parents.
Shut up. Shut up, you disgrace for a human being. I better stop it. I'm going to lose my career today. I can feel I'm so close to losing my career in talk radio. One more insult from these Nazi liberals, and I think I'm going to say things I've never said in my life. But I have the control necessary to not lose my career. I will be here long after they are gone. How's that? Long after Josh Ernst is a burp in human history and long forgotten, I will be on the radio. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. So whenever Obama refers to his enemies, he calls them folks or people he doesn't like. They're none people. The other day, he referred to medieval Christians as killers. Never mentions Muslims, never mentions how many are killed or were killed by communists. Soviet Union communists killed 61 million. Chinese communists killed 35 million. Nazi Socialist Party, 20 million. China Nationalist Regime killed about 10 million people. And you'll notice that there's no medieval Christians on this list. But the Jews are just folks to him now. So now we have barbarians destroying in a blitzkrieg, not being stopped because the leader of the free world, Barack Hussein Obama, refuses to identify them for who they are. So now a gunman seizes a Jewish supermarket, and he executes a bunch of folks in a Paris deli. So people are writing really odd things, and they're insulting things. I don't know if I should read them. I didn't write them, but they're very interesting. Imagine if his outrage, if someone characterized the history of lynching African Americans as some zealots who went around randomly stringing up some folks in the South. Tell me what would have happened today. It would have been sick, right? You get it now?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage.
Entirely legitimate for the American people to be deeply concerned when you've got a bunch of violent, vicious zealots who behead people or randomly shoot a bunch of folks in a deli in Paris.
I'm surprised he even said deli. That's as close as he came to kosher. He could have said, randomly shoot a bunch of folks in a grocery in Paris. He could have said that. So you got to give him credit for moving to the right here. I mean, you got to be realistic. He moved far to the right here by saying deli. He could have said grocery. Deli implies Jewish. Deli implies they were targeted because they were Jews. So, you got to give him credit where credit is due. Maybe you're being overly harsh. You're being an Obama basher. Because he called murdered Jews just a random bunch of folks shot in a deli. I mean, don't be mad at him. He moved to the right. He said deli. But it gets even better on this interview on Vox. Vox, of course, is the pox of the media, funded, I believe, by the worst man in the history of the world. And, of course, that's where he goes to put out his great pontifications upon the world where no one will challenge him. Listen to the following clip 5. You'll understand why the American people are rightly terrified that he is not pursuing the Islamofascists vigorously enough. Listen to 5.
The biggest challenge that we have right now is disorder. Failed states.
Really?
Asymmetric threats from terrorist organizations.
Big word.
And what I've been
asymmetric.
Trying to do is to make sure that over the course of the last 6 years and hopefully the next 2, we just have more tools in our toolkit to deal with the actual problems that we have now and that we can project into the future rather than just constantly relying on the same tools that we used when we were dealing with Germany and Japan in World War II.
Well, those tools worked. Mr. Obama, I'd like to remind you that the tools used on the Japanese Imperial Army worked very well. They didn't use they used atomic bombs because they wouldn't give up. They were zealots. In fact, the Japanese military were quite vicious. They beheaded people the rape of Nanking. They raped Chinese women by the hundreds of thousands. And the only thing that stopped them were the tools of World War II. And, of course, Germany was marching on until the tools of firebombing, night bombing, day bombing, reducing cities in Germany to rubble. That's sort of what worked, Mr. Obama. All of the talk in the world couldn't stop these zealots, Mr. Obama. And by the way, Mr. Obama, you say the biggest challenge we have right now is disorder in failed states. I'd like to remind you that you caused the failed states with your Arab Spring. You started the ball rolling on the failed state policy. You're the one who brought down Gaddafi and set off a chain reaction across the Arab Crescent. You're the one who caused the asymmetric threats at this level. You created the failed states in Libya. In fact, I'll never forget this as long as I live. When Gaddafi was begging for his life before Hillary Clinton had him executed, in my estimation, remember her laughter? We came, we saw he died. Great Secretary of State, that girl. We came, we saw he died. Putin is Hitler. Anyway, Gaddafi knew that he was going to be killed by this gangster regime because he had too many secrets. You see, they didn't want him on trial. He said, don't kill me, because if you do, what's going to happen here in Libya is that, the tribal system will emerge, as in Somalia, and you're going to have a failed state. They killed him anyway. Now we had a failed state in Libya, which set off a shockwave across the Arab world, all because of George Soros' money. Here's my estimation of it, as I wrote in Stop the Coming Civil War. Soros funded this, the Arab Spring. Zbigniew Brzezinski, Zbigniew Jabrzynski, is the one who was the architect of it. That's Jimmy Carter's genius. And then it was enacted by the Obama team. The simpering Obama team put it in motion. And we had a shockwave go across the Arab Crescent. Those are the failed states he's now talking about, including Iraq, which he created. The military begged him to leave troops behind, and he wouldn't. And so who moved into the gap? Well, I was the first one in the media to tell you who they were. I knew that there was Saddam's former Republican Guard and his leaders. They are now ISIS. So now what is Obama doing? He's sending troops back there. There are 3,000 American troops in Iraq somewhere right now, and he's going to amp it up to a certain number. It's far too few. You know my worst fear? This most incompetent commander-in-chief in American history. Not since, if you go back to George Washington, we've never had a more suspicious, incompetent commander-in-chief. We've never been in more danger than we are today. Never. Where did I come up with a statement like that? Why, the FBI director himself said it last week. He said there are operatives in this country in every state but Alaska, meaning Islamo-fascists hiding in the country, ready to strike. Now, of course, the FBI director may be fired for that because he let the cat out of the bag. I didn't make it up. He did. So that means they could blow up a Delhi and kill some random folks. These zealots who are hiding here, who could simply shoot up a bunch of folks in a synagogue or a bunch of folks in a deli or a bunch of folks in a shopping mall or a bunch of folks in a church or a bunch of folks in an old age home or, you know, something like that. A bunch of folks in a railway station. A bunch of folks in an airline terminal. Because they're just folks. They have no identity. Because they're not the right people for the administration. So here we are. We wake up and it gets worse every day. But it gets even worse. Oh, yeah. Now we go to the biggest lie of them all. And that is the lie about global warming, which has been debunked by now. By all rational scientists have debunked this concept of global warming. They know it's the greatest lie in science history and also the greatest scam in the history of the world. The greatest. This is like if Madoff worked for Obama. Let's go back. If Madoff had been hired by Al Gore, and Al Gore and him had a little meeting somewhere in a deli, just a bunch of folks in a deli in New York, let's say the stage deli. Let's say Madoff sat down, he had a nice corned beef and pickle with Al Gore, who had a pastrami and pickle. And Al Gore said, look, we need to come up with something to market now to get the idiots to kick up a couple of $1 trillion on something. What could you come up with, Madoff? I don't know. What can they do here? Let's see. I'm good on the Ponzi scheme. I don't know. What are you talking here, Al? And they're munching on a pastrami. I don't know, something to do with climate, something to do with the weather. What could you do with that, Madoff? I don't know. Weather, wait a minute. Weather. Let me think about it. So I'll get back to you on that. So he comes back to him a few days. He says, I've got it. I figured it out. I was in a schwitz last week with some of my sons and my friends, and we figured it out. Tell them that the world's coming to an end unless we rein in industry, that we cut back on, I don't know, one of the gases, one of the essential gases that are, carbon dioxide. I know it from seltzer. We just had some in the deli. I don't know, make it up. Carbon dioxide is going to destroy the world. All right, it's in a seltzer bottle. You're going to say, Al, that it's the world's coming to an end unless we rein in carbon dioxide. What do you mean the world's coming to an end? That's really good, Madoff. What do you mean? You know, tell them, I don't know, that the ice is going to melt. Tell them everything's going to be flooded. I don't know. Build on it. The way I did with my Ponzi scheme. Let's see. Polar bears. Get a shot of a nice white polar bear on an ice floating around. Use emotion. Emotion. Fear. That's good, Madoff. So that's how they came up with the whole global warming scam. Everyone knows that. With an IQ above 92. So now we go to the next issue. Where's the argument over the global warming, guys? From the most polarizing president imaginable. Let's hear it.
Let me just clarify. Is the president saying, as he seems to be implying here, that the threat of climate change is greater than the threat of terrorism?
I think, John, the point that the president is making is that there are many more people on an annual basis who have to confront the impact, the direct impact on their lives of climate change. Or on the spread of a disease than on terrorism.
The answer is yes, the president thinks climate change.
Can anyone listening to the show tell me how they've been affected by climate change? And anyone in the audience, raise a hand. Any good liberal out there been affected by it? Any one of the stooges who worked for NPR can tell me how they've been affected by climate change? I never heard anything like this. Well, the country's stupid. Drugged up morons. This is what you get when you have drugged up morons. So then a guy like this can get away with this. And as this goes on, things are going on that you can't believe. Here's Senator Bernie Sanders, Jewish communist, or is he a Jewish socialist, from Brooklyn, who went to Vermont, fooled the nice people of Vermont into thinking he represented them. And he says the only open member of Congress who's a socialist. Even Bernie Sanders, Jewish socialist, says he won't attend the Netanyahu speech. Listen to clip 25.
I think when it comes to foreign policy, especially in as volatile a place as the Middle East, you really don't want to be playing politics. And the idea that the President of the United States, who leads us in foreign policy, was not consulted about Netanyahu coming to Congress is unacceptable.
To who is it unacceptable, Bernie? You? No, you were told what to say along with the other cabal. Feinstein, of Jewish descent, not attending Netanyahu's speech. This is amazing to me. Barbara Boxer, a loudmouth from the gutter, not attending. Schumer, Jewish, not attending. Go down the list. These people just 3 weeks ago were big fundraisers for AIPAC. Now, because their boss, Mr. O, told them, listen, you're not going to go. That's who they are. They have no spine. They have no reason to represent anything other than the special interests they represent. So there they are. The cabal is not going. The AIPAC cabal is not even attending. Can you imagine this? They're fundraisers for AIPAC, the American-Israel Public Affairs Committee. But they're not attending Netanyahu's speech because King O said don't go. That kind of rhymes. It has iambic pentameter. I can do a rap song on it. King O says don't go. Now we go back. Now, we ask ourselves, how can he get away with it? How can he keep lying like this? How can he keep insulting Christians and Jews like this? How can he keep covering up the crimes of radical Islam like this? Oh, well, you're going to do something about it. That's what an opposition party is supposed to do, impeach him. Or, let's say, a vigorous opposition party instead of a stupid stumble-bum drunk. They get up every day he does this and they say, Mr. President, we are insulted, we're challenged, this is the truth, you're a liar, you had no right saying that, it's an insult to humanity, it's an insult to reason itself, how dare you? That's an opposition party. So as you can see, we have a single party system, as you know. And now we go to the next thing is what? Vigilant, aggressive, da-da-da, we should come to China's peaceful. Oh, now you'll see how he's working with China in clip 9. Listen to this one.
We should welcome China's peaceful rise. Partly just from a ethical perspective, you know, to see hundreds of millions of people rise out of dire poverty and to be able to feed their children and have a decent home, that's a good thing, and we should encourage it.
Well, you have been encouraging it. You and the Democrats have been sending them, along with the Republicans, by the way. I'll name them all if you'd like. It started with the most disgraceful turnabout I've ever seen in my life. Bob Dole. Remember the Dole? Remember he was running for president until they sabotaged him by putting him on a treadmill machine with a white undershirt where he looked like a spindly old man? I wonder who advised him on that, with the show he was vigorous to look like he was going to fall off a treadmill. That was the end of his campaign. They must be the same company that's advising Ted Cruz to go to war with Russia by arming Ukraine. Anyway, yeah, so, yeah, going back to Clinton, we've been helping China rise. In fact, there was a nice gentleman whose name I will never forget, who started out running a bunch of broken parking meters in the Bronx. A shyster, a little no-good bum. A Bronx bum. Started in the parking meter business in the Bronx. Then he went into the missile business. I don't know how he jumped. I think he got a government contract. Then he started funneling money to the Democrats. And then he gave the Democrats, he was the single biggest fundraiser in the Democrat Party under Bill Clinton. And then when he went from parking meters to rockets, he shared our ability to launch a satellite into space with China. And there was a big outcry under Clinton when old Bernie Schwartz did that. And he's, oh, no, the Chinese are never going to use those rockets for anything except peaceful use. Next thing you knew, they were launching satellites with weapons on them. And last I checked, Bernie Schwartz is doing very well. There was never an investigation of his transfer of technology. Never. So we've seen China's rise. And it's a good thing that Bernie Schwartz was so kind to them when you think about it. Now, it's true you could wake up to a 10 or 20,000 degree furnace over your city one day from China. But, hey, look how well Bernie will have lived along the way. Right? And, you know, life is short. I know the adage of the atheist, life is short, you may as well have a good time. Bernie, I hope you're enjoying your dinner right now, and I hope you're not listening to me, Bernie. This is the Savage Nation. The problem with you, listeners, is that you don't know I've been on radio 20 years, and I remember everything that's important in politics going back at least 20 years, but probably longer than that, maybe even back to when I was 18 years old, which is longer than 20 years ago, I remember things. I remember the history of things. So if you'd like to comment on any of the outrageous things that you've heard and you're really mad at me and you could prove global warming has personally damaged you or that Obama's a great leader because he's spitting on the Jews and Netanyahu, give me a ring, will you? I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. I think Obama's pathologies are emerging more quickly than anyone would have imagined. There's something going on. Not the facade is crumbling. I think the real Obama's allowing itself to show through. So last week, let's see, attacks Christians for acts committed during the Crusades in order to cover up the acts of barbarism and terrorism being committed right now by Islamofascists. Now he downplays the killing of Jews in a kosher deli by saying a group of folks in a deli. It's astounding. I mean, maybe tomorrow we'll wake up. There'll be a new one because it's only Tuesday. Tomorrow he could say a group of folks crucified Jesus several thousand years ago. Would there be a reaction from the Jewish community? No, don't ask. He's good to us. Don't ask. We do very well. Please, don't raise. Let it go. He doesn't. It's okay. Believe me. You have plenty of grants and contracts. I don't ask. Here's someone said, yes, they have been affected by climate change. With taxes and divided population, and being distracted from important issues and crises. So there is a direct effect of climate change. High taxation, divided population, and distraction. There you go.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage. We'll be right back. Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected thought, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
I worry very much about the immediate consequences of mistrust between police and minority communities. I think there are things we can do to train our police force and make sure that everybody's being treated fairly in the task force that I signed after.
Why don't you train minority communities to commit fewer crimes? Would that work? I wouldn't even train the police force. Now, notice that when he said train up at minority communities, they have an identity. They're not a random group of folks being picked on by the police. They're minority communities. Says this goes to the whole... welcome to the show, hour two. In hour number one, the polarizing president insulted the Jewish people who were assassinated by the Muslim fanatics in Paris a few weeks ago by calling them a random group of bunch of folks shot in a deli. That was one. Last week, he attacked Christianity and Christians by saying crimes were committed during the Crusades, and the last Crusader died about 700 years ago. And, of course, those were counter-Crusades. That was after several hundred years of being pushed around and land being grabbed by Muslims. The Christians raised armies and kicked them out of their lands. But, you know, don't bother him with the facts, because obviously he comes from an anti-Western background. But irrelevant as that may be, he now goes after the police in this Vox interview. And it's about training our police again, retraining them. That's called a re-education camp of the police. And so he set up a task force in the rest of the clip to make sure everyone's being treated fairly. That means when the same number of cops are killed as criminals, then it'll be fair to him. And the task force is basically a re-education camp along the lines of what they have in South Africa. And so that's what he means by a task force that he assigned after Ferguson. So what do you mean by Ferguson, where the guy was trying to kill a cop? I think it was kind of unfair to the cop, don't you? I don't like the word tools. It's very, very fascistic. It worries me. Listen to the whole clip, 15, if you don't know what I'm talking about. Listen.
I worry very much about the immediate consequences of mistrust between police and minority communities. I think there are things we can do to train our police force and make sure that everybody's being treated fairly. And the task force that I assigned after the Ferguson and New York cases is intended to produce very specific tools for us to deal with it.
What are those tools, Mr. Obama? Now, he gave another word that's very telling. He said the things we can do to train our police force. Did you catch that? Did anyone hear that except me? In his mind, he's now in charge of the federal police force. They're all answering to him and that other superb human being, Eric Holder. We're going to train our police force. As you well know, there is no national police force unless you're not living in Argentina. You're not living in the Soviet Union of the past. You're not living in Nazi Germany. You're living in America where there are community police forces who do not answer to a centralized authority for good reason. Because if they did, they could become Hitler's SA or Hitler's SS in a moment. In the blink of an eye, if they start answering to a single dictator, that's what happens in a nation. So that's why we wisely have police forces. But notice he says there are things we can do to train our police force to make sure that everybody is being treated fairly, except the police force is themselves. Anyway, I'm just splitting words. You know, you realize that it's just Obama bashing. And it's all based on racism. It's not based upon anything rational. I'm just a white guy, and I'm just a racist. That's what it is. You see, it's not a thing that he's doing that's wrong. He's such a perfectly fine gentleman that he calls Jews who were murdered in a deli a random bunch of folks shot in a deli. I have no right to get outraged by that. Only a racist would get offended by him telling Netanyahu to drop dead and don't come to America. Only a racist would criticize him on issues such as global warming, which is the greatest scientific scandal in history. Now he says that the reason he's such a polarizing president is not because he's the most polarizing president in world history, but because the media did it in clip 12. You got to hear this one. You won't believe it.
A lot of it has to do with the fact that, A, the balkanization of the media means that we just don't have a common place where we get common facts and a common worldview the way we did 20, 30 years ago. And that just keeps on accelerating. I'm not the first to observe this, but...
Do you have any idea what he just said? We don't have a common place where we get common facts and common worldview, a common worldview. Now tell me which nation has a common worldview, common facts, and a common place, meaning a single news source. Well, let's see. Right now it's China. Any dictatorship on earth has a common place where they get common facts and a common worldview. And, of course, we had it here 20 or 30 years ago when it was ABC, CBS, NBC, all putting out the same news at the same time and the same subjects. Remember those days? You'd switch around and they'd all go to ads at the same time, then they'd come back to the same stories. And it was one variety of Williams or another. One Brian Williams or another on each network, giving you the same common facts and the same common worldview. And now that people see they have options, they can go to different websites. They can go to Drudge. They can go to Gateway Pundit. They can go to MichaelSavage.com, WorldNet Daily, Newsmax. There's dozens of sites that are independent. And he doesn't like it because it's not a common place where we get common facts and a common worldview. So he's blaming us for trying to find the truth for why he's the most polarizing president in history. Anyway, you want me to talk about something else? I just ate a Chinese meal. My blood went up. I feel better. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know. It's too much. You want to talk about vaccination? The measles vaccine and why they're modifying it? And why you've chosen not to vaccinate your child? Not to vaccinate your child. Why don't they vaccinate the illegal aliens that they brought in? Why didn't they vaccinate them before they loaded them on the trains and brought them in? Why didn't they give them a nice vaccination run back in Honduras? Why didn't the Baptist Family Services, which got about $300 million to take care of these illegal aliens, why didn't they give them a bunch of vaccines down there in their Baptist Family Service facility? I think I just knocked off the Telos, guys. You got to restore it. I hit the machine by accident. I'm worked up. I walked around the floor and hit it with a wire. Yeah, I have a studio. I love this studio. It's nice. You should see my studio, how beautiful it is. You want to envision where I am? I'm in a studio, as you would figure. On my left side, there's a screen that gives me the line numbers that are lit up. Then there's a little all red that you're there. I don't know anything about. In the middle are all the news stories I can change. And the right side are all the stories I got for the day and all the sound the guys picked for the day. My dog, Teddy, is fast asleep on the floor. He knows on the days that I get Chinese, he gets no food from me because it would kill him. I would kill him. He can't give a dog Chinese food. They're dead on arrival. So all he gets from me is the white rice on a day like today, which he turns his nose up at. He goes to sleep like, oh, great. You're very generous. Thanks. And he goes right back to sleep. You're knocking down the scallops. You're eating the Mongolian beef. Great. Yeah, I want more white rice. I need the dog diabetes. Thank you. Yeah, right. Thanks, Mike. What happened to that good stuff you used to give me? The roast beef, the chicken, the steak once in a while. Now you're giving me white rice. Great. What am I, on the Bataan Death March here? So he's asleep at my feet. Merck should revive single-dose measles and mumps vaccines, says Lindsay Birdsall of Change.org. The purpose of this petition is to increase vaccination against measles and mumps by working with the religious beliefs of parents. Oh, please. I don't want to read this. Doctors turning away unvaccinated children, LA Times. Among the current measles outbreak, pediatricians nationwide are turning away parents who refuse to vaccinate their children. They're so brave, the pediatricians. You know, you got to realize what brave doctors they are. They've said nothing about the importation of disease by illegal aliens. They drug children as young as 3 months old for illnesses that don't even exist other than to push drugs. Now, if you bring a child in unvaccinated, the brave pediatricians won't treat them. We decided that the patients who are not vaccinated are presenting a clear and present danger, said Goodman, Dr. Charles Goodman. He's featured in the LA Times for being such a brave pediatrician. I wonder if this brave pediatrician would tell parents not to give their children dangerous drugs like Adderall and Ritalin. The brave pediatrician. They're pill pushers. Pediatricians are drug pushers. Your drug dealer with an AK-47 is to be more trusted than the average pediatrician pill pusher. I have more faith in a drug peddler selling crack than I do in these people. Because a crack dealer is a crack dealer. He doesn't pretend to be a savior of children. And he doesn't know any better. That's all he does. A pediatrician knows he's poisoning your children with those dangerous toxic chemicals. Don't tell me about pediatricians. 30 years ago, they earned the least amount of money of all doctors. You know that? You didn't know this. I think it was 30 years ago, pediatricians were amongst the lowest remunerated type of doctor because they didn't give drugs to children. And then the Madoffs of the industry got together. And I imagine they sat in a deli somewhere and talked about how can we boost our income. How do we build up our income here? We're not making any money. What's a couple of hundred grand for all those years of medical school? Well, they're children, man. You can't just dose them up with drugs. What do you mean we can't? Well, there's not a lot of drugs that they need. You know, the children have childhood illnesses and they get over them. Well, let's invent some diseases that they don't get over that we can treat. All right, let's some behavior. Let's say if a boy is too much of a boy, call it something like aggressive behavior. That wouldn't work. Aggressive is too aggressive. Something to do with focus. Attention deficit disorder. Bingo. Okay, you got a pill for that. Well, we were using speed, but not many people are using it anymore. All right, modify it. Lower the dose. Call it something else. We'll peddle that as a treatment for this attention disorder. Bingo. That was the road to money for pediatricians. It's just how things are. You don't believe it's that craven, do you? You want to believe it's a nice world of Dr. Kildares who care about your children. You don't believe they're just businessmen with stethoscopes who are peddling drugs, do you? No, all right, don't. The only good pediatrician I ever met, and I didn't meet him, is the doctor running for the presidency, Dr. Carson. Now, there's a pediatrician. One of the greatest men of our time, a pediatric neurosurgeon. Do you know what the vermin at the Southern Poverty Law Center had the nerve to declare him? They declared that one of the finest saints of our life, Ben Carson, the vermin rat criminals at the Southern Poverty Law Center, criminals is what they are, dared call him a racist because he opposes homosexuality. Well, he opposes gay marriage. He's now a racist and a homophobe. This is amazing. The world's an upside down place. Is it any wonder I eat bad food? Is it any wonder I no longer eat a single lunch, a double? I got to do a double to get through a day. Is it any wonder I'm not 275 pounds? No, I'm in pretty good shape. I'm like a 173-er. It's 20 pounds over that I'd like to be. I like to be lean, but I'm not lean anymore. I am working out with the weights. My body looks better. The problem is I ripped the muscle in my neck. I'm in such agony I could scream. So I have a choice. I could look like Michael Moore and be in no pain, or I could look good and be in racking pain all the time from the trapezius connection to the neck down to the shoulder. I'll take the pain. I don't want to look like Michael Moore. That's a curse worse than pain. I think it's a pain. Imagine waking up and looking in the mirror and seeing Michael Moore looking back at you. Would you want to go forward another day? It's impossible. I'm just doing some stand-up now. I got to burn off some steam here. I'm going to scream in a minute. I'm going to go crazy. Obama calls murdered Jews just a random bunch of folks shot in a deli. And not one word from the professional Jewish organizations. Not one word, not a peep out of them. Where's Marvin Chaya? Where's Marvin Chaya? Where's the Anti-Defamation League when we don't need them? Yeah, where's Foxman of the ADL? Where are you, Foxman? How come you're invisible? What, you get an invitation to the White House with Al Sharpton? Obama calls murdered Jews just a random bunch of folks shot in a deli, so that's defamation. So where's the Anti-Defamation League? Answer, nowhere to be found when you need them. That's all. Any other questions? They get smeared off by the government, big contracts and grants. All you got to do is invite them to a dinner. One dinner at the White House with Michelle and, where are you going tonight, Abe? Oh, don't ask. No, nothing important. Where are you going? It's a nice tux, man. You still look good in it. Where are you going tonight? No, we're just going to the White House. That's all. We just have a little dinner with Michelle and the president. Really? No kidding. How'd you get invited? Well, we're close with them. You know, we speak on a fairly regular basis. The Reverend Sharpton and I are in constant contact on issues to do with religion and theology. And, we're going very well. Where are you seated, today? Abe, who are they seating you with? Well, don't ask. That's very personal. It's private. We have a Secret Service detachment. They're going to pick us up and take us there. Okay, I did my pantomime. Did you like that one, Robert? Was that a good... The two guys are enjoying that one. The voices. I'm doing voices again. I like it. You like my Foxman voice? My invented voice? I like the Jewish voice that doesn't exist anymore. It's a funny thing is like when I do like a Jewish guy talking with that, oh, don't ask that. No one does. Nobody talks like that anymore. Robert, have you ever met anyone who actually has that accent? Nobody. No, there's no one left on the earth. Maybe some guy left in Hungary who's 103. There could be one guy in Brooklyn somewhere who's not even, no one even knows he's still there. Like they parked a grandfather left on Prospect Park on a bench, and they don't even know he's still there. He might talk like that. I had a weird dream last night. I'm running out of time. I'm going to break something. I'm warming up. I could go now 20 straight minutes on my dream of last night. But Robert won't let me. The red thing came on. The lights are flashing. I got to go to the wonderful folks who make this program possible. So I'll be right back to tell you about my crazy dream when I return right here on the Michael Savage Show.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-COIN. Okay, that's what gave us Rosie and Ellen. Songs like this. I don't blame them. If I grew up on songs like this where Sandman was supposed to send me a dream and a man, I could have wound up like Rosie O'Donnell. That's what I'm supposed to expect in life, that a Sandman was going to send me a perfect man. You hear? That's how you wind up Rosie O'Donnell. It's that simple. It's unrealistic. Take a look at the state of humanity, men in general, for God's sakes. With the hat on backwards, a swilling beer, eating like a pig. All he wants to do is fornicate. I mean, what do you want him to do? I have sympathy for women. I do. Nothing you can do. Men are made like that. Anyway, here we are. When I come back, more headlines and more voices right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Oh, well, thanks for staying with me this hour and a half on the Savage Nation, where you've seen me go up and down. I was so enraged today. I have to get off the sound bites from Obama, the most horrendous, polarizing president imaginable. If a foreign power conquered America and put a polarizing president in just to agitate the people, they couldn't have picked someone better than Obama. It agitates me to listen to this. So now Netanyahu's coming in to give a speech, and he's not going to be there because it has nothing to do with his dealings with Iran. It has to do with the fact that the people, when Netanyahu appeared in the past, Congress broke into loud cheers. He was a hit. Obama's never been a hit. Never. He never had a hit like that. It's like, wow, man, he was jealous. It's an ego thing. He doesn't want to get all those accolades when he's not loved. He's hated, except by the stooges in his own party and the turncoats in the Republican Party. So here's some good news. Listen to who's actually going to attend to Netanyahu's speech to a joint session of Congress to spell out why Israel opposes the ongoing nuclear negotiations with Iran. He's going to try and tell you that they want to wipe the Jews off the planet. So Biden, as you well know, is a quisling. He's not going. But listen to Sanders. What do you expect from him? Bernie Sanders. They call him an independent. He's not independent. He's been calling himself a socialist for 10 years. So listen to who's not going. Representative Luis Gutierrez. He's a reptile. Representative Luis Gutierrez, Mr. Illegal Immigrant, called the speech by Netanyahu a stunt. Let me tell you something, Gutierrez. You couldn't shine Netanyahu's shoes, you reptile, you. But listen to who is going. This is interesting. Harry Reid's going, Schumer's going, and Box is going. Could you believe this? I guess they get 10-12% off everything they raise. I don't know. I don't know why they're going. They don't want to lose the VIG. You think they're going on principle? You think Harry Reid would go to the speech on principle? It's got to be the VIG. The VIG they raise in Nevada for Israel. Come on, it's big VIG. Figure Reid's in Nevada. I'm trying to be a real politic. Make believe I'm a screenwriter. And we're just having a session. This is how I would... It's like, okay, why would Reid go? The big money. You got the guy who punched out the Picasso. He's good for... Then the other one with the Macau. I don't even remember their names. I can't remember them. The two biggies there. They're big Israel supporters. Does anyone know their names? Guys, come on. Who runs the casino there? I can't remember their name. My mind's blanking. Sheldon Adelson, big Israel supporter. That's a big one. And then the other hotel with the buffet and the glass. And you win. So figure Reed's in their state, even though they're allegedly, on the opposite side of the aisle. Come on. You know big money's flowing out of Nevada to Israel through his hands. Gets probably a big job off at a 10-12er. So they got to go. They probably told, oh, you don't want to go? Fine, we'll give it to another a bundler. I know, I'm going. What are you talking? I like that. They're a nice guy. I'm a former boxer. I like him. He's tough. Okay, good. Schumer, you know why he's going. He's going to not go? It's a Jewish community that represents there in New York. He's got to go. Why is Boxer going? She doesn't send money to Israel. Is she a bundler for the AIPAC? She must get a big, she must bring in a big number, I would think. Yeah, I think she probably brings in a big number. There's got to be 10, 12 in the VIG. So she wouldn't give that up. No, that's what I'm thinking. None of them are principal. You know, once almost eradicated, whooping cough surges back. Gee, I wonder why. Pertussis, known for an explosive cough so violent it can break a person's rib. It reminds me of Adam's rib. Adam's rib. You really think God made women out of your rib? Am I missing a rib? Is that true anatomically that we have one rib missing? Is that true? I mean, every time if I eat spare ribs in a Chinese restaurant, I think of Adam's rib. I'm theoretically eating the pig's wife or something. That's insane. What is that? How can anyone believe in that fairy tale? God made woman out of a rib. What an insult that is. I could see making a woman out of a loin, but out of a rib? That's ridiculous. What kind of fable is that? It's like the whole thing. I mean, you want to sell religion to the next generation? I mean, modify the Bible a little bit. In the beginning, there was man, and he took a rib out of Adam. He made spare ribs? No, he didn't make... He made Eve? He didn't make pork fried rice. He made Eve? That's... You talk about sexist, man. A woman's made for the rib of a man. That's good. And then God came down and made the wife of a rib, the shrub of the field. It's right in there. I swear to God. How can you believe that? That's the problem. I don't understand that. I want to believe. I would like to believe. It's in here. Yeah, the Lord had taken from the man. Here, it's in the rib. I swear to God, I found it. It's Genesis 18:21. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man. And he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the place with flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from the man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And the man said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. See, they were into it. They were wild even then. They were not ashamed to be naked. So where do we get this whole thing about being ashamed to be naked now? Where'd that come from? If they weren't naked in the Bible, why are they naked now? And why are they ashamed of being naked now? Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. And he said unto the woman, yeah, God said, you shall not eat of any tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, and you know how it goes. She ate of the apple. That was the end.